So we are beginning a new series, and we're looking at the glory of Christ. So today we're going to ask, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And what is the? I'm going to answer that question the way the church has answered it for its entire history. And it put these in formulas, and we've confessed them ever since. So with that said, I've got two readings. They'll be on the screen behind me. And then we'll look at God's word together. So we're going to go to the beginning. We're going to go to Genesis 1, and then to John chapter 1. So first of all, Genesis 1. So let's hear God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, there was morning, the first day. Now we're going to go to the beginning in the New Testament, John chapter 1, which is where we'll spend the bulk of our time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, he who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And that's God's word. So Jesus, God and man. Jesus, God, and man. We're going to look at what we call the two natures of Christ in one person. So we're going to look at the way the church has confessed it. Jesus Christ is one, truly God. Two, truly man. Three, one person. Truly God, truly man, one person. And then we're going to see why this matters. And what difference this makes to our lives, what comfort and encouragement we can take from it. And believe me, it does matter. So point one, Jesus Christ is truly God. That is basically what the first chapter of John is writing to prove, and indeed proves. Things are said about the person of Christ in that chapter that can only be said of God. John uses the term the Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There you go. The Word was God. Everything, therefore, that can be said about God can be said about the Word. Everything that we say and believe about God can be said about the Word. This points to what we call the Trinity, that God is one God, but exists in more than one person. Notice that in verse 1, the Word was with God and was God. So there's more than one person there, but they're both God. And that's why I read Genesis, because as we looked at, when we looked at that passage, God exists, and he spoke the word, and the Spirit hovered. So there's three persons there. God, the Word of God, who is also God, and the Spirit of God, who is also God. All three members are one God, equal in power and glory. For there is only one God, and everything that can be said about God can be said about all three. And that second person, the Son, that John calls the Word, became flesh. And only that second person became flesh. Sometimes you may hear, you'll never hear it here, but you may hear somebody say, Father, we thank you that you came to earth and died on a cross. We assume the speaker's made an honest mistake, because he has made a mistake. And if he actually believes that, he's committed a heresy, because it wasn't the Father who came to earth to die on the cross. It was the Son. That's what John's saying here. The Word was with God, but the Word became flesh. So this is everything, and as we say in this passage, we'll tease some things out now. Some things are said about the Word that can only be said about God. Verse 1, the Word was God. All things were made through him. In him was life. That means he had life in himself. We have life, but our life depends on God. Amen. God has life in himself. And verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. The King James translates that beautifully. The only begotten Son who is in the Father's bosom. That's a position of closeness, of love, of intimacy. That's why we say God doesn't need us. God's completely blessed and happy in the person of the Trinity. Augustine put it like this. In God, there's a lover, a beloved, and a spirit of love. That's why we say God is love. And an overspill of his love is you, the creation, and that God saved us. So Jesus Christ is truly God. We see this in numerous other passages in the New Testament. But I'm only going to delve in this one because we'd be here all night otherwise. But we've got a verse there, and there's also a verse in Romans that says explicitly that Jesus Christ is God. And Jesus Christ uses titles in the New Testament that can only be said about God. In John chapter 8, he says, before Abraham, I am. That's the personal name of God. In the book of Revelation, he calls himself the first and the last. That's a title for God. Any number of titles. And that, the first and the last, it shows that he's eternal. So that's point one, truly God. Point two, he's truly human. And this is just as important as the fact that Jesus is truly God. Many people stumble over this, and many people on the internet will ask you this question. Jesus is God. Well, God's eternal, you say. He had a beginning. Jesus is God. Well, God doesn't die. Jesus died. God doesn't get tired or hungry. Well, Jesus got tired and hungry. And you believe Jesus is God? It's ridiculous, they'll tell you. Well, we believe that Jesus is truly human. So as a true human, he would get hungry, he would get tired, he would have a beginning, and indeed he would die. We believe that because Jesus died because he died for our sins. Paul says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. He is truly human. Why? Because you are human, and he came to save you. Amen. We'll dwell more on that in a minute. But everything that can be said about human beings can be said about Jesus Christ, with one exception, sin. But everything else. You see that again throughout the Bible. We've mentioned it. You see him hungry. You see him thirsty. You see him tired. You see him fearful. Not a sinful fear, but a fear. He'd sweat drops of blood. Now God doesn't get frightened. God doesn't get tired. But we believe that he is truly human. And this is a mystery. But you know, we say in Luke, as we looked at it, when we looked at it all those years ago, Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in knowledge. And so when it talks in the Bible of God exalting Jesus, because this is another thing people say, if Jesus is exalted, how can he be God? Because God's exalted forever. Well, no, when it talks about Jesus being exalted, it's meaning the human person, Jesus Christ. When he was ascended, he went to glory, and he was exalted forever. So that did have a beginning. In his divine nature, he was God forever. And the third point, we say he is one person. He is one person. He is God and man united forever. The way we talk about this can be a bit confusing. Because sometimes when you listen to hymns and carols, they use picture language. And we're very literal when it comes to language. That's why whenever anyone says anything, they have to qualify it about 1,000 times. And then by the time they've qualified everything, you forget what the point is they're trying to make. But when we say he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, as we sang a couple of weeks ago, what we don't mean is this. Because sometimes we can slip into thinking this. We don't mean that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were in heaven. The Son left, morphed into a human being, and then lived on earth. That's not what we believe. That too would be a heresy, because it shows that God can change. And God can never change. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, united with a little baby, and so he has two natures. In his divine nature, in his God, that's divine, God nature, he's everywhere at once, knows everything, and is all powerful. And in his human nature, he was vulnerable, didn't know everything, and was in one place. Yes, in his humanity, he didn't know when the second coming was. There's other things he didn't know. I don't believe he would know who the Prime Minister of Britain would be at the end of this year. I mean, we don't know that, do we? But in his human nature, he wouldn't have known that. In his human nature, in his human nature, he still is in one place at the Father's right hand. In his God nature, he's everywhere. In his divine nature, he upholds the universe. In his human nature, he depended on God. This is a mystery. This is what scripture says. It's too high for us. But one thing that we must stress now is he is one person. One person. That's why scripture uses funny language. You know, when somebody says to you, maybe a Jehovah's Witness says to you, if Jesus is God, how could he die? Quote this verse. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Listen to what the apostle says. You must care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. So God has blood. Yep, God has blood. Strictly speaking, if you want to flesh that statement out, yes, Jesus Christ is one person, divine nature, human nature, and in his human nature he died, in his God nature he lived forever. But Paul sees them so close together, so interwoven, so married, that he can say God died on the cross. So when you read, when, you know, the hymn writer, Mr. Wesley, 'tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Yes. Scripture says, uses language like that. Yes, we have to explain it, but God, in the flesh, died on the cross. And he's one person forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why does all this matter? It's all very high. It's all very, well, humbling. And sometimes I read it and I think, and I'm being really honest, I thought, do you really believe all this? Yes, I do. And here's why it's important. We're going to deal with application now. We must hold this truth tightly. We must never give this truth up. There are truths Christians disagree on. This we can't. If the church got it wrong 1700 years ago, we may as well pack up the church and go home. If Jesus Christ is not truly God and truly man. David Hyde, in a book I'm reading at the moment, says this: if Jesus Christ is not God, then he cannot be our Savior. Because only God saves. Furthermore, if he's not God, then he can't hear our prayers. And I'll add, this isn't in his text, but I'll add to it. If he's not God, he can't bear our sins on the cross, because if he's just a man, he'll get crushed under that weight. That's right. Only God can bear the wrath of God. Going back to the quote, on the other hand, if Jesus isn't human, he can't be our Savior, because only a human can pay for our sins. In addition, if he's not human, he can't sympathize with us. And if his divine nature and his human nature aren't united in one person, he can't be our Savior, because otherwise he is neither God nor man. He is a third entity. Christianity collapses if you give up this truth. Nothing else matters. Nothing. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Well, who's Jesus Christ? If he's not truly God and truly man, it doesn't matter. We call this the incarnation. God taking on human flesh forever. And Benjamin Warfield said, no incarnation, no Christianity. And it's interesting that in the 20th century, many churches started to deny this truth. Their churches are now dance halls and nurseries. Give up this truth. Nothing else about Christianity matters. Jesus dying on a cross, just heard it. Jesus dying on a cross? Well, what does that matter? He's just another martyred revolutionary then. A hippie who got on the wrong side of the law. Yeah, his life could have some important lessons, but Christianity as we know it, on your bike. This is so important. We must hold fast to this truth that Jesus Christ is one person who is truly God and truly man. But there's also an emotional level to this. An emotional level. Bishop Ryle writes, if we would have strong faith and hope, we must keep in view that our Saviour is God. He whose blood was shed for us is Almighty God. All power is his in heaven and on earth. None can pluck us out of his hand. If we are true believers, our hearts need not be troubled or afraid. And if we would have sweet comfort in this life of suffering and trial, we must keep in view that our Saviour is human. He is the man Christ Jesus, who lay in Mary's bosom and knows men's hearts. He can be touched with a feeling of our weakness. He experienced temptation, hunger, pain, shed tears, and we may trust him with all our sorrows. He will not despise us. We may pour out our hearts before him and keep nothing back, for our Saviour is truly one of us. And the third application, worship God. Worship God. The psalmist says, behold the work of the Lord. What a miracle. What a miracle. That God, who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth, was born a helpless baby and submitted to God's law and lived a righteous life. And then he died the death that we deserve to die. And then he rose again. And he's pleading for us at the Father's right hand. And the person who did that is God and man. That should renew our confidence in him. That should cause us to sing for joy. If you're struggling with sin, remember that God shed his blood for you on the cross and you can be cleansed. If you're wondering, how can God understand? He did. He lived and died among us. I encourage you, get to know Jesus Christ. This isn't just academic theology that people in ivory towers study and read about. This is our Lord and Saviour. This is our precious Jesus who loves us, who makes himself known to us by the word and in the supper. And he'll take us to be with him forever. And then we'll see his glory. Fully. Like it says here, we've seen his glory. The glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, but then, when we're glorified with him, we'll be like him. And we'll see his glory forever and ever and ever. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Forever. That's our blessed hope. That's what the church is called to do now. So in 2023, dear church, get to know Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, come to him today, this very day. And if you are a Christian, you come to him again this very day and every day for the rest of your lives and say, Jesus, I want to know you more. Commit to church. Because I'm not going to do Christ justice on the first Sunday of every month. But we're going to read and learn all about him, the glory of Christ in his person, in his Saviour, in his Redeemer, in his love, in his prophethood, priest, king, exalted one, humbled one. We're going to talk about all that. And then we're going to say, well, what difference does it make to me? You're united to him. Amen. You're married to him. And all that is his is yours. That's the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of the God-man. He who was eternally the Son of God became the true Son of God in human form. So he's Son of God in both his natures, eternally and in his human nature. And the glory of God shines from his face forever. And we're going to sing again now, and then we're going to remember him. And remember this, when you take the bread and the cup in a few minutes, remember that he who gave his life on the cross was truly God and truly human. Amen.